Good morning, everybody. How's everyone doing? Welcome to Bird Park Community Church. Woo! Woo! Donuts! All right, beautiful, beautiful May gray day out here on Catalina. Thanks for being here. How's everyone feeling today? We doing okay? We doing all right? Well, thanks for being here. You know, just a quick couple things. Little sheet there on the table. Feel free to scan that. Follow along with the lyrics that we're going to be singing today. Also, a way to do some giving and donating to the churches. So, check those out. Also, I just want a quick reminder. You know, we are tomorrow, the men would like where the golf course starts at 6:30. All right, 6:30, the ladies' golf tee, if you know what that means, for hole one. We'd love to see you there tomorrow at 6:30. Men, join us. Also, just want to do a quick update on this whole mask situation. I'm sure everyone's ready to go for them to go away forever. We have a little policy updated here where you can not wear your mask if you're at your tables and all that. So feel free, take it off when you're at your table. Throw it back on when you're walking around and moving around today. That's enough about that. You know, here, guys, I don't know about you guys, but here at Bird Park Community Church, we are always at the forefront of political correctness and what's culturally relevant and all that. So I'm just going to say a happy birthing person's day to you guys. All right? Happy birthing person. I'm told that's what we're supposed to say now. So, but hey, happy Mother's Day. All right? Can we get a hand for all the mothers? Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Every day. I'm convinced every day should be Mother's Day, all right? Just last Sunday, my wife, mother of my child over there, she had to scrape poop off the stairs, two flights, feed the baby, get him fed, dressed, and was here at church pretty much on time. And that's something, all right? That's something to celebrate. So, and I'm sure we all have those anecdotes for our own mothers, but God bless you guys today. As the band comes up, it's just a day of celebration, right? It feels great to be here. And thank you to our mothers in our lives who have taken that torch on and carried it so valiantly. So thank you, guys. Bless you. And let's stand and worship today, all right? Let's do it.
Awesome. Thanks, Reed. Well, again, welcome, everyone. And welcome to you watching online. And we're glad you're joining us this morning. Let's turn our hearts, let's turn our focus to the Lord. Let's lift praise in His place, right? Let's join in creation around us that's already doing its worship this morning. Saw my ashes, you saw your dream. I saw an orphan, you were my family. I saw my frailty, you saw your might. I saw my blindness, you were the light. You give me garments of praise, fullness of joy. Joy, unending mercy, new every morning. I saw the water, you saw the wine. I saw dead branches, you were the vine. I saw my weakness, you saw your blood. I saw my failures, you were enough. You give me garments of praise, fullness of joy, unending mercy, new every morning. Garments of praise, fullness of joy, unending mercy, new every morning. Was lost till you called me out by name. I was down till you picked me up again. I was wrong till your loving made me right. I was dead till you sang me back to life. And I was lost till you called me out by name. I was down till you picked me up again. Of praise, fullness of joy, unending mercy, new every morning. Garments of praise, fullness of joy, unending mercy, new every. You give me garments of praise, fullness of joy, unending mercy. New every morning, garments of praise, fullness of joy, unending mercy. New every morning. So good that it's new each morning, huh? Like we wake up today, it's a new day, new mercies of the Lord. His goodness upon us, His goodness in our midst, His presence right here in this place. This song, it may be new. We haven't done it for a while to some of you. It's got quite a story in this song. And I just encourage you to take in the lyrics of this song. Obviously, worship and sing along as you do. There's some powerful statements in within this song that are speaking things of God and speaking things of us, you know, in relation to those truths. And so let's just continue to worship. And God of creation, there at the start, before the beginning of time, with no point of reference, you spoke to the dark, fleshed out the wonder of light. And as you speak, 100 billion galaxies are born in the vapor of your breath. The planets form. If the stars were made to worship, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've made. Every burning star, a signal fire of grace. If creation sings your praises, so will I. And God of your promise, you don't speak in vain, no syllable empty or void. For once you have spoken, all nature and science follow the sound of your voice. And as you speak, 100 billion creatures catch your breath, evolving in pursuit of what you said. If it all reveals your nature, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you say. Every painted sky, a canvas of your grace. If creation still obeys you, so will I. So will I. And oh, 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 oh,
The mountains bow in reverence, so am I. If the oceans roar your greatness, so will I. Or if everything exists to lift you high, so will I. If the wind goes where you send us, so will I. If the rocks
salvation, you chase down my heart through all of my failure and pride. On a hill you created the light of the world, abandoned in darkness to die. And as you speak, 100 billion failures disappear. Where you lost your life so I could find it here. If you left the grave behind you, so will I. I can see your heart in everything you've done. Every part designed in a work of art called love. If you gladly chose surrender, so will I. I can see your heart 1 billion different ways. Every precious one, a child you died to save. If you gave your life, love them so will I. Like you would again, 100 billion times. But what measure could amount to your desire? You're the one who never leaves the one behind. Well, God, I just, that statement that you gladly chose to surrender and so will I. And just a little bit earlier, that on a hill you created, you abandoned yourself in darkness to die for us. What an amazing reality of the God that we worship and love, that you made the choice. You chose us. And so, Father, we choose to fall in that obedience and love you and follow you and thank you and glorify you for your goodness and your redemption of our lives. So, Lord, as creation's calling out, we call out from our hearts to you this morning. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.
And you may be seated. There's a cartoon that shows a mother in her home, and her hair is in disarray. The place is in shambles. The house, the kids are running everywhere. Then her husband comes home from work, and he's all neatly dressed, coat and tie. He's got his briefcase. She takes one look at him, and then he looks at her with this great big question mark on his face. And she tells him, "You come home every evening and ask what I do all day. Well, today I didn't do it." And here it is. Oh, my goodness. Good morning to everybody. Happy Mother's Day, and to some of our grandmothers out there, our great-grandmothers, it's a special day. My name's Andrew. Good morning to all of you guys listening online that are all over the country, all over the world, paying attention to Little Avalon here. Happy Mother's Day to you as well, those listening online. Officially founded by Anna Jarvis, and her mother always said there should be a day to honor women, a celebration of their contributions in the world. So Anna Jarvis never forgot her mother's words. 1905, the first celebration was after church at a Methodist church in West Virginia. Pink carnations were brought out in celebration because they were her mother's favorite flower. Today, on this Mother's Day, it is estimated over $30 billion are being spent on flowers for Mother's Day. Isn't that something? Yeah, some of you all are looking at the ones on your table, going to grab them. So make sure, if you did not receive one, I know Brian had the bucket somewhere. And thank you for doing that, man. Psalm 139:14 says, I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. And as scripture says, it is good and fitting for the upright to praise him. This does not disqualify us if we're not always upright. Just letting you know. Praise him this morning. This is the greatest time to grow our faith right now. The greatest time. The world's been dealing with a problem. Even here in this town, we felt the repercussions of it. But this is an opportunity for the church. This is an opportunity for your faith. We celebrate all women today, and we celebrate the radiant beauty of a woman's touch. And a special shout out today for our new moms, those who have become mom through this last COVID year. I know it has not been easy, but you all are doing better than you think you are. I was sitting over here to the left of Jenea, a wonderful mom right here, Reed's wife, and I was just kind of, I was watching the band, but I noticed her attention doing the same, and then about every 30, 45 seconds, doing this, right? The instincts of a mother. Just checking on Cohen, who's about 12 feet to the left over there, just relaxing, but she wanted to make sure. I love that. I love that. Jesus came to bring us into a relationship with the living God. And that's what he was doing when he showed up here, constantly looking, Father, what is it you have for me? What is it you have for me? He withdrew into a mountain to pray. He withdrew into a boat to spend time with his Father. Jesus was constantly getting his marching order, so to speak, and loved on by his Father, far exceeding the old tradition of the law and making sacrifices. A real relationship. And the problem is that those that listened to Jesus could not oftentimes see past what they thought. And let me ask you a question this morning, and I want you to process this with all that seems to be happening this morning. Has God turned out when you're following him the way that you thought it would? Has following him turned out the way you thought it would? We've all been there. We've all asked God for something and we don't get it. And we thought God was going to change something in our life and it still hasn't happened yet. Or it's hard to get past the idea that maybe God did not do what you expected him to do. Maybe being a mom has been one of the most frustrating experiences of your life. Or maybe the opposite. Maybe the most rewarding experiences of your life. Could it be that it just didn't turn out the way that you had imagined, possibly? The problem is not how things have turned out, but most of the time it's with our expectations. And as I was listing some of the things this week that was kind of going into my journal, into my heart about our expectations, maybe in the process of maturing as a mother, God has been building inner strength within you so that you would stay effective or even become more effective in your family. You think about it. Moms know this so well because they can persevere even when they're sick. Amen? Even when they're sick or when they're tired. Some of them have been furloughed, lost their jobs. They've come home only to the second full-time job that they had going on, trying to balance all of that. Everyone sees it. Because bills don't pay themselves, right? They don't. You have to persevere through difficult situations at work and at home. You can't just stop because we're going through a difficult season, and it's still going on. And while you persevere through a situation, you find out how strong You are. Moms, you tap into this strength that you didn't even know was there. There was a mother in Waynesburg, Kentucky. Her name was Venus Ramming, Miss America 1944. This is a tough gal. I don't think any of you heard about her, but she knows how to shoot a gun. Fired a handgun while on her walker, a 38, okay, 82 years of age, literally, when a man confronted, just ran into her farm and hid in her barn, where someone else had done the same thing not too long ago that had actually walked away with some old farm equipment. And Rammy told the man, you know, you're not going anywhere. He said, I will leave. She fired a pistol, blew out both tires on his vehicle. He wasn't going anywhere. I would not want to mess with a mother like that. While leaning on her walker, she said, I'm trying to live a quiet and peaceful life and stay out of trouble. It's one thing after another. Psalm 31, verse 30. Charm is deceptive and beauty is fleeting, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. Is it possible for you to release your expectations that you have for your children and let God cultivate what He wants them to be? Have you ever been disappointed because something didn't turn out the way you thought? And I think this is the way we all feel about last year, but Jesus has a question for you today, and it's this. Do you trust me? Do you trust me? Even if Jesus is not going to fix it in your family, He's still going to fix us. And once you arrive at that point of understanding who He really is and who Jesus really is and what He wants to do for you, we realize Jesus is going to try to fix your families through you. Through you. Because we're not exempt from it, but we have this hope, special hope, that you can trust Him. Jesus tells us that He is all we need, and He's the one that will fully satisfy. Literally, old religion was out. The old standard with works and sacrifices and following the law. The new standard, faith, belief, with a living, breathing relationship with God. You may not be a mother here today, or maybe not a mother that's listening online to us today, but all of us have mothers, or we wouldn't be here this morning, right? If possible, please show honor and lift up a prayer for them today. Exodus 20, verse 12, our scripture today that Pastor Ron's going to be covering says, honor your father and mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you. Also from 1 Corinthians 11, nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. Verse 12 says, for as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. I can't wait this morning. Let's ask a blessing on His word and on the words that have already been spoken through song and His scripture this morning. And let's kickstart things. Once again, happy Mother's Day. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us hope. This hope that builds even when we're in the midst of pain and suffering. I know some of us here, including myself, have lost our moms here even just recently. You're right by our side. And you find us, and you meet us right here. And Jesus, we want to be encouraged today, knowing your grace is sufficient for this season. It's all we need. I pray for those here today that may be hurting, and for those who may be celebrating as well. Mother's Day can often be different for different folks. Jesus, comfort those who are in pain, and I pray for those who are weary and healing them, giving them a second wind, Jesus. Give them a breath of fresh air today. Just like these beautiful flowers, we thank you for the gift of creation that you bring through the womb of a mother. You are a comforter and an anchor for our souls. We thank you and we love you for that. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Y'all know that God is a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it's been said that the Holy Spirit exudes the mother heart of God. And he is here to comfort, right? So if you have ever comforted anyone, happy Mother's Day. He's here to give us counsel and direction. So if you've ever given counsel or direction in the name of our Lord, happy Mother's Day, right? So I don't want us to stop and just think this day is only for those to celebrate those who have birthed a child, because it's not the case. And so as we move into this next song, I just want us to be mindful of the Holy Spirit. And so Holy Spirit, we ask that you come. And thank you for what you do in our lives, what you do for us, what you do for those around us. And we ask that you do flood this earth with your glory and your power, your majesty and your worth. And may we get a glimpse of that this morning. In your name we pray.
Break down the walls, push back the dark, light of the world, move in our hearts. There's a stirring in the spirit, heaven, something holy, can you feel it, heaven? Let your glory and your power, let your majesty
join me.
Let your majesty and worth flood the earth. Flood the earth. Let the rumors of your kingdom, let your name without reserve flood the earth. Flood the earth.
Amen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. That you've even gone to win my war, and you come back with the head of my enemy. You come back and you call it my victory. You've even gone to win my war. Your love becomes my grace.
When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back together. You are the defender of my heart. When I thought I lost me, you knew where I left me. You reintroduced me to your love. You picked up all my pieces, put me back. Settle in right there, just that place of praise, a place of freedom, the place of his presence and grace. It's new today, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. Give the band a hand, please. Amen, amen. And a happy Mother's Day morning to all of you, mother or not. All those who are here, all of those who are in the carts, all of those who are online, and all those mothers who are here in spirit. And mom, I just wanted to say, the end of the month, we're finally going to put you to rest with dad. All right, so we've got it in the plans. Good morning. I want to start out by destroying some myths of mothers. All right? I think that's a good way to start out. Destroying some of the myths of motherhood, or we could name this someone says, or we could name it somebody screwed up. Somebody said that a child is carried in its mother's womb for 9 months, and that's very special. Well, that may be true, but somebody obviously doesn't know that a child is carried in his mother's heart forever. Somebody said it takes about 6 weeks to get back to normal after you've had a baby. Well, somebody obviously doesn't know that once you're a mother, normal is history. Somebody said you learn how to be a mother by instinct. Well, somebody obviously never took a 3-year-old shopping. Somebody said being a mother is boring. Well, somebody obviously never rode in a car driven by a teenager with a driver's permit about to get on the freeway. Somebody said good mothers never raised their voices. Somebody. Well, somebody obviously never came out the back door just in time to see their child hit a golf ball through the neighbor's kitchen window, or just in time to see their son fall off the skateboard, smash his teeth into the sidewalk, or, you know, fill in your own screaming mom story there. Somebody said you don't need an education to be a mother. Well, somebody obviously never helped a fifth grader with his math.
Somebody said you can't love the fifth child as much as you love the first. Well, somebody obviously doesn't have five children. Somebody said a mother can find all the answers to her child-rearing question in books. Well, somebody obviously never had a child stuff M&Ms up his nose. Somebody said the hardest part of being a mother is labor and delivery. Well, somebody obviously never watched her baby get on the bus heading to kindergarten. Somebody said mothers can stop worrying after her child gets married. Well, somebody obviously doesn't know that marriage adds a new son or daughter-in-law to a mother's heartstrings, right? And somebody said a mother's job is done when her last child leaves home. Well, somebody obviously never had grandchildren, because it starts all anew and in an entirely new way. Somebody said your mother knows you love her, so you don't need to keep telling her. Well, if it isn't obvious now, or by now, it sure is with that question that somebody definitely isn't a mother. Amen? One of the greatest commands in Scripture is the one that Andrew read earlier. Started out in the book of Exodus. The command to honor both father and mother. The fifth command, right? Both sons and daughters are called. We as sons and daughters are called to this privileged responsibility. And it is a privileged responsibility. But it's worth noting that, you know, in this day and age, actually, too many, unfortunately, sons and daughters, in honoring their fathers and their mothers with the state of marriage and with all of the divorce that is going on, that becomes kind of a problem, doesn't it? And to fulfill that responsibility becomes problematic, not really much of a privilege. When a mother or when a man honors his father, he's honoring what he hopes to become one day. And when a father considers his son, he is remembering what it was like to be a boy. The same thing is true of a woman honoring her mother and a mother remembering what it was like to be a girl. But when a woman honors her father, that's different. And when a man honors his mother, both the son and the daughter then are walking by faith, literally. And that honoring then becomes more of a mystery. It becomes a little more difficult when it's men honoring their mothers and women honoring their fathers. But let's kind of start at the beginning. One of the things that this kind of honor that the fifth commandment commands us to do, one of the things that that honor does is to issue to us, as men and women, a profound declaration of dependence. A declaration of dependence. Dependence on one another. Men to women, women to men. As Paul tells us about, again, in that 1 Corinthians 11 passage that Andrew read previously. 1 Corinthians 11, 11 through 12. In the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor man of women. For as a woman was made from a man, so man is now born of woman. And all things are from whom? All things are from God. Everybody say that, please, just to make sure that we get it. All things are from God. So Paul says women can reflect back to their declaration of dependence, literally beginning in the pages of Genesis. Way, way, way back there, right? When the first woman was taken from the side of the first man. But for men, Paul reminds us of realities that are much closer to home and that are more in our era, in our time frame. We remember back to our birth days, literally. Our declaration of dependence reflects back to the woman who birthed us, interestingly enough. Paul says women in general are not independent of man. He argues because the first woman was made from the first man, but his reasoning is different in the other direction. All men are not independent of the woman because every man was born of a particular woman. Try to argue that against that one. Sorry, you can't. of a particular woman, interestingly enough. So all women are represented by Mother Eve in their dependence on man, but every man is connected to an individual woman in his one-on-one sort of way. And we're all dependent on God. Let's say that again, please. We're all dependent on God. And if we thought more about that dependency, I think we would get along a lot better in this other dependency that we do have as well. So perhaps something in all of this can show us how a man's relationship with his mother is also foundational for a man's relationship with perhaps everybody else, right? But most especially, perhaps, their daughters. Their daughters as well. Yes, Paul's discussing the relationship of men and women together as husband and wife, and he tells husbands that the key to a right relationship with wifey is having a right, respectful relationship with mommy. We seem to forget that. Paul says, if you want the water to be clean, you start at the origin. You start at the fountain. But as we listen to the Apostle Paul tell this to husbands, who is he sounding more like in our more modern times, huh? Talking about men and their relationship with their mothers. Dr. Freud. Dr. Sigmund Freud. Interesting. Siggy taught that every male child longed for his mother's love and found his father to be a competitor in that affection. And that brought on an affliction. And what did he title that affliction? The Oedipus complex. The Oedipus complex that men have. What essentially he is saying is that they will fight over the mother's love, or the son will want to fight over the mother's love with his father, with other brothers, with anybody that tries to get involved. Basically, Freud says, it's all mom's fault. And we want to say today and declare very loudly, no way, it is not just mom's fault. Amen? It is not, because there's very little empirical evidence to prove the Oedipus complex theory anyway. But we know that it's not, because all of us are dependent on whom? On God. And so we're not going to overly blame mom for anything. Sorry. And we shouldn't overly blame dad. Well, let's not carry it too far. The truth is, more than a few marital problems start with the fact that the husband did not honor his mother the way that he ought to have. There, I said it. And I mean it. And also extends into tangled relationships that many men have with their daughters. If a man doesn't recognize his dependence on his mother, he's going to have trouble recognizing the proper kind of dependence he ought to have on his wife, the proper kind of dependence. And whose design is that? God's, because we're all dependent on whom? On God, as well as each other. So we all say yes, amen to that. And there's biblical evidence for it. I'd like us to return back to the fact that the fifth commandment is the first commandment with a promise. What is that promise? Well, Exodus 20:12 says, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land, and that the Lord God is giving you. Well, and Paul requotes it. He quotes it a different way in Ephesians, his letter to those in Ephesus. He says, that it may go well with you, and that you may live long in the land, that our days may be long, and that it may go well with us. And I know that if I have a good relationship with my mom and listen to what she says, that will extend my days. And it has extended my days. It's also extended my pleasure over my pain, believe it or not, right? Where do we suppose that the bulk of this blessing, though, is going to fall for us, especially as men? Where will most of it take place? The answer is obviously in the life of a man, that the man lives with his family, with his entire family, but especially with his wife and with his daughters. Too many Christians who grew up in troubled homes have falsely concluded that if they just get far enough down the road from mom and dad, If they just get far enough down the road from the folks, then the happiness will just mysteriously reappear, right? Wrong. That's not what happens. What usually happens is that slowly, imperceptibly, inexorably, all the old patterns begin to reassert and reproduce in new settings, right? In new locations. But the same patterns are there. You cannot run away from them. We have to actually discover them and help to cure them. And this is why Mother's Day is a wonderful opportunity to give mom genuine honor, because that's how we discover them, the pains that we have, that are based on not giving our parents the honor that they properly deserve. And so Mother's Day gives us that opportunity. We get to focus on genuine honor. And I mean genuine honor, something more than what Hallmark demands of us. If we just check off the perfunctory card or the obligatory vase of flowers, then that only shows that we're missing the point. We're really not getting it. What we're talking about is genuine, heartfelt forgiveness, genuine, heartfelt love. And they know the difference between that and a vase of flowers, don't they? Our mothers. When I say that a celebration of something like Mother's Day is scriptural, it is. I'm not extending that understanding into the ways that we do it, but the principle is scriptural, is it not? Obviously, we read it, the fifth commandment. Nothing in scripture requires a particular date on a particular calendar, or to give red roses instead of tulips, or a card instead of a gift. We're not worried about the method, we're worried about the principle. And if you're worried about the principle, you'll do the principle right. And that means it will be with a heart full of love. A love that comes from whom? God. Because we're all dependent on whom? And if our relationship is going to go well with anybody else, it first must go well with whom? And we must feel His love. And once we feel His love, then we have the opportunity on days like today to fully fulfill our commandment in Exodus 20:12. To truly honor our mothers and our fathers on Father's Day. To truly honor. And that's what we need to focus on. And to do that, we cannot do that without focusing on our relationship with God. Focusing on His love. And then where we need to place that love in our hearts. So it's not the method. It's the principle. Scripture does not dictate the particular method used, but it does require that we apply the principle. And once we've identified what it is, we're to render honor to the one person today that God uses to physically give us our greatest earthly blessing, and that is our lives. But along with that, can't you just hear her voice in your head? Telling you the things that you should have done when you were a child that you didn't, perhaps, and you learned, and you wish you would have listened to her instead of learned the hard way? I still hear that voice. But let me ask you, and Shelley was kind enough to kind of lead into it earlier, what is our greatest divine blessing? Who is it that helps us live more with eternity in mind? That's not your mom's voice. That's the Holy Spirit. But it's interesting to me that when the Holy Spirit, or when I hear the Holy Spirit talk to me, it sure sounds like mom. Let me read from you what Ari Torrey writes in his book, Antidotes and Illustrations. He's talking about during his Dublin campaign, when a young Christian man, this is Ari Torrey again at the beginning of the century, a young Christian man whose mother was an earnest Christian woman came to me in great distress. He'd been paying attention to a very worldly young lady, and the preceding Sunday evening he had called upon the young lady in whom he was interested. Though it was Sunday evening, the girl's mother proposed that they play cards. The young lady's mother urged him to join in the game, but he refused. He said to me later, "When I was invited to play cards on that Sunday evening, the thought came to me, what if I would, play those cards, and my mother should hear of it. It would break her heart. Now I ask ye, how many a man is kept back from doing the things he would otherwise not do by the thought of how it would grieve his mother if she should hear of it? But there is one who is more keenly sensitive than the purest of mothers, who is grieved at the slightest departure from the path of right, as no mother ever is grieved, and that one is the Holy Spirit. He goes with us wherever we go. He sees all that we do. He hears all that we say. Yes, he sees the most secret fancy of the heart, and there is an act, a word, a thought that has a taint of impurity, of selfishness, of sin. He is deeply grieved. To me, this is one of the mightiest incentives to a careful walk, not just what Mom would think, but what the Holy Spirit would know, hear, and see. I cannot entertain that thought for a moment. If I do, the Holy Spirit who sees it will be deeply grieved, and I cannot bear to grieve this ever-present, faithful friend or my mother. I love Tori's words. They're so practical. I've always believed it apropos that Pentecost comes in the same season as Mother's Day does. Pentecost is observed on the seventh Sunday, 50 days after Easter, 40 days after Ascension Sunday. And that means that Pentecost is going to be 2 weeks from today on Sunday the 23rd. And again, it's appropriate that Mother's Day and Pentecost are in the same season. I believe strongly that many of the attributes that we see in women and mothers are more an echo of the character and the ways of the precious Holy Spirit of God than any other person of the Godhead. The earliest Christians, most of whom, were Jews, spoke of the Holy Spirit as a feminine figure and wrote about her in many proof texts, ranging from the Gospel according to Hebrews to a number of testimonies from second century witnesses on up to the fourth century, to Simeon, a writer who actually greatly influenced modern Protestants like John Wesley and the Moravian leader Count von Zinzendorf. I love Wesley, I love Count von Zinzendorf, and I loved their theology and the fact that it was based heavily on the Holy Spirit. And they all agreed that through the image of the Holy Spirit as woman and mother, one may attain a better appreciation of the fullness of God and the depths of the divine. So men, put that one in your pipes. Since the Bible routinely refers to God in fatherly figures, and since men are usually the ones doing the talking, it's just easier to focus on the fatherliness of God. But this doesn't mean that we don't, that we can't, that we don't have a reason to talk about God's motherliness as well, and especially today. Besides, the Bible does just that, and it does that often, biblically speaking. There's plenty of nurturing mother-ish images of God throughout the Scripture. Jesus himself even refers to himself as a mother hen, right? That I would gather you under my wings, as a hen gathers her brood, but you would not. And Paul, even Paul, for Pete's sake, even Paul depicts himself as a nursing mother in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7. We were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So if Paul can do it, we certainly can, man. If the Apostle Paul honors mothers, we can and should, too. So let's do that. Let's honor our present mothers who have or have not yet given birth, those that are here presently. And let's honor our birth mothers who may or not be here present, but they are today as well. Some find it hard, so we pray for strength. Strength to forgive our mothers for past pain. We pray for the mercy and love to give our mothers mercy and love, just as Christ taught us to give and supplies us with that mercy and love. We pray for being able to remember the good things mothers have done and to show acts of kindness to them as well. Because the truth is, choosing to say and remember good things about our mothers honors them. Choosing to do good things as well as say and remember helps us, and all of that glorifies God as He has designed life to be lived as it is. He has designed our mothers to be our mothers in the way that they are our mothers and give birth to us. And yes, He has intimately even planned your mother out since the beginning of time. So honor your mothers today. Truly honor them. Love them. Give them grace. Show them mercy. Whether they are here or not, you can do that in your heart. Heavenly Father, for our mothers who have given us life and love, we pray that we may show them reverence, love, grace, mercy, and we thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, for adoptive mothers and for the women who wish to give birth but experience challenges and are not able to do so, we pray that they know your love, they know your care, and we thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, for mothers who have lost a child through death, we pray that their faith may give them hope and their family and friends can support and console them, and especially the family of God that they belong to. We thank you, Lord. Heavenly Father, for mothers who have died, we pray that you, God, have brought them into joy of your kingdom, and so have honored them and brought glory to yourself. And we thank you, Lord. And for your Holy Spirit, who brings guidance to fathers, mothers, and children alike, and allows us to be lovingly dependent on one another, we thank you, Lord. And we pray this, Father, in the name of your precious Son, Jesus, whose actions on earth made it all possible, and all God's people said, amen.
Amen. And just as it's been said there several times, that we are all dependent on God, and I love that first commandment with a promise. That's cool. Just the promises of God. And I think this, as we close out this morning, as we let's stand together as we close out in song together. I just love singing of the promises of God, just holding on to the promises of God in our life, the way His word will continue to live in and through our lives as He empowers us by His Spirit to live these things out. But hold on to those true promises of God. When the weight of life begins to fall, on the name of Jesus I will call. For I know my God is in control, and His purpose is unshakable. It doesn't matter what I feel, it doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be in your promises to me. As I walk into the days to come, I will not forget what you have done. For you have supplied my every need, and your presence is enough for me. It doesn't matter what I feel, it doesn't matter what I see, my hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be in your promises to me. Oh, oh, oh. Oh, oh, oh. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You'll always be more than enough for me. Proclaim it. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you've made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You'll always be more than enough for me. One more time, you will always. You will always be more than enough for me. You will always be more than enough for me. Nothing's gonna stop the plans you've made. Nothing's gonna take your love away. You'll always be more than enough for me. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be in your promises to me. It doesn't matter what I feel. It doesn't matter what I see. My hope will always be in your promises to me. Now I'm casting out all fear, for your love has set me free. My hope will always be in your promises to me. Your promises to me. Yeah. Your promises to me. Your promises to me. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great rest of your day and weekend.